Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I know you want to talk.
I will be brief. I simply want to apologize for the way things ended before you left. I reacted poorly.
Apology accepted. We're good.
The thought of losing you, it affected me deeply.
I understand. This has gotten complicated, and I am not good at complicated. And I am still going away for 3 months to study with Roger Corby. When I get back, let's just see where we are then.
So you were saying that perhaps some time apart might be good for us?
Spock. Yeah. But not like us. Us. Like us as people.
Okay, all right.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to this. We got back 2 weeks ago. Now we're back.
Oh, shit. All right. Hey, everyone. Dan's back. Not only are we back, but Dan is back with us.
Hey, you guys. I'm back. I was gone, but now I'm back.
Maybe he won't be here next week.
It's been building up. I got to build it up again. I got to take a week off again.
Oh, no.
And come back. And do this again. Ah! I'm back, baby.
All right.
Get rid of it.
So just a word of warning to the audience. We thought we had gotten this out of Dan's system prior to starting.
That's what we tried to do.
Prior to starting the recording of the podcast. Apparently not.
Sometimes he tricks us.
Okay. All right, Dan. Now, you're a stickler for...
A stickler, yes.
Going through all the opening motions in a certain order.
I don't even care anymore.
But you do.
I've turned
you
a new
really
leaf.
Do care.
I've really had a lot of time for some self-evaluation.
Your 1 week vacation.
I've had self-evaluation, personal contemplation, and I've come to a realization.
Is that what they call it these days? Personal contemplation?
That sounds complicated.
That I need to remain in my chill nation and just go with the flow, man.
All right.
You're a complicated fellow.
You can't rattle this cage, baby.
I think I can rattle this
cage. Oh, no. That was a challenge, wasn't it? I just dug my own fucking grave.
I think I rattled it plenty.
Oh, boy. Right. What have I done to myself and everyone around me?
Okay. So,
all right. Well, in case you didn't know.
I appreciate...
I guess you didn't know.
It's Scott Star Trek.
I appreciate this newfound desire or newly rediscovered desire to embrace your chillness. But nevertheless, that news aside, we will still attempt to go through the regular process.
Okay.
So we'll start off by saying, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Well, everybody ready?
Jesse did it.
He did it.
See? He did it. I'm not mad, but I'm just going to point it out anyway.
Well, I didn't know you were going to do something.
Well, no!
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So last time this happened, Dan.
Oh my god!
Now I'm laughing because a few weeks back, Dan explained to you
after having done it for like over a hundred episodes,
literally years worth of podcast. The pattern is I say welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and then Dan plays a sound clip.
Everybody ready?
And then I'll say like the number of the podcast or something like that. And then Dan will play another sound clip. And he takes special care to select these sound clips.
Yeah, okay.
And you keep walking all over them.
And then you're like, I didn't know you were going to do that. How was I supposed to know?
Yeah, Jesse, a bit of a pattern.
I think Jesse might have gotten into one of those severance situations where he walks into the podcast and, well, actually, that wouldn't even make sense. He's just resetting every week.
Oh, yeah. It's like a memento situation.
It's more of a memento situation.
A momento.
What about, it was just a memento situation.
Mentos, wow. Fresh bones, fresh bones, Mentos.
Oh, that's right.
Fresh bones,
I haven't
Mentos.
Seen one of those commercials in a long time.
Mentos okay. Gonna bone so, your Joan.
We've welcomed you to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Welcome.
We've apologized in advance. For Dan's behavior.
My behavior.
I apologize for my behavior.
We've criticized Jesse for walking all over Dan.
Yeah, well.
I did it again.
And, I greeted it with laughter.
I'm going to do it
and
some
now,
more.
And good humor.
Now I can mention that this is episode 297 mm-hmm. of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Mm-hmm. Watch your fingers so I don't start talking when you do
well, just
something.
Just remember the pattern. That's all.
Okay.
I will remember that pattern. Yes.
Right. I think we're getting a sound now? Or did you need something else?
I need something else.
Oh,
you said
the number. Okay. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. This week, I got it.
Yeah.
How long have we been doing this? Like 6 or 7 years?
Hey, who cares?
We're getting close to
six.
We're getting close to figuring it out. So
buttons.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Right. It's episode 297 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And this week, we will be discussing. Strange New Worlds, Season 3, Episode 1, Hegemony, Part 2.
Let's hit it.
Jesse, I saw you go up to that mic. You were about to say something.
I was waiting for you to do it. That was my pause.
Oh, that was your pause.
I was a dramatic pause.
Okay, I thought you were about to say something.
No, I was holding back. I was like, here it comes.
Much respect. Much respect.
Growth.
Does anybody remember what was happening in this show? Like, it's been like 2 years or something.
Well, I was going to watch
it. It has been 2 years.
I was going to watch the episode, and then I was like...
You mean the previous episode?
Oh, yeah. I was going to watch Hegemony Part 2, and then I was like, wait...
You mean Part 1? Oh, okay.
I was gonna watch Hegemony Part 2.
I did not understand how okay. you were gonna Hegemony. Unfold these okay. These facts. I'm getting it though.
Yeah, yeah. It's all coming together.
All right.
And then I started it, and I was like, oh yeah, this was a two-parter. And I was like, well, maybe I can just keep watching it based upon the last time on. And I was like, no, that's not enough. Whenever they do the last time on, like if I don't remember the episode really much, like when they give that like last time on this show, it's never quite. Enough information that I need, so I had to watch the whole episode again. I find that those like things where they tell you about what happened last week, even if I had just seen the episode a week prior, those still aren't good enough. I still feel like often I'll watch the last, if I watch an episode and then watch the part two the next week, I'll watch the last 5 minutes of the previous episode before going into the new episode, because I think my memory's all screwed up and I can't remember
Word.
Stuff anymore. But if it's been years, I was like, I gotta watch the whole episode. It's never good enough. The summary's never good enough.
I never got around to doing it. I just watched this one.
Well,
just is busy.
He's a busy bee.
He's got fresh little babies.
He got old babies.
Fresh little babies.
He got old baby.
Running around screaming.
Jesse got old baby.
Tugging at his flesh.
Jesse got old baby.
Literally.
Just like grass, just trying to peel your flesh off.
Tugging your flesh.
Grabbing at my face.
Tug your flesh till it comes off.
Yeah, all right.
Pulling out of my hair.
Roll it into little worms. Come out your face.
So
make the flesh worms come out of your face.
No worm
flesh
face. Worms. I don't like worm voice. Ever since you introduced this additional like lore to worm voice, that there's like this worm face situation.
Worm face.
Not a fan of that.
This is my worm face.
Upsetting.
All right.
Copy.
Anyway, enough tomfoolery. Okay.
Enough Tom.
So. And I always I forget it's a new season, so there could be all sorts of new listeners. They think we're crazy. All right,
yeah, so fine. Many new
that's
people.
Fine. That's fine. That's yeah. fine. Yes, this will begin our weekly coverage of Strange New Worlds season 3.
Yeah, good idea. Let's make a whole day of it. Get snacks.
There we go.
Hang out.
That worked out pretty well.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, so yes, we are starting the season 3 coverage now. We do have a programming note.
Oh. Holy crap!
Just to clarify our schedule here, what's going to go on.
Chief O'Brien.
This week, we are going to be discussing Hegemony Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're discussing.
Yes.
We are aware that those jackals at the network, the network that increasingly people are not fans of, for a variety of reasons.
Oh, the latest,
news yeah,
with
maybe.
All sorts of horrible
Colbert. Yeah, firing Stephen Colbert to appease... Anyway.
No, it was a financial decision.
Oh, sure, yes. There's not enough money for a TV show.
Yes, we know they aired two episodes. They also aired Wedding Bell Blues, which is the second episode of season three. Mm-hmm. We will be discussing that next week on next
week's
show.
We're all going to die!
Yes. And indeed, as the season goes on, we're going to be like a week behind the regular schedule. Normally, when we do new episodes, we're like right there at the beginning. But for scheduling reasons, a variety of other conflicts, we're just going to do it this way.
If you don't like it, you're just going to have to deal with it.
Well, if you don't like it,
it's got Star Trek.
It's all good.
That's how we're doing it.
Because there are many other options out there. We highly recommend Open Pike Night, which, I mean, they're interviewing the actors, the writers of each episode.
It's in their name.
Check it out. I mean, that's where you're going to go for up-to-date, current, awesome insights into the show. Callers can call in, and we recommend you do call in with questions and comments. So that's where you go for your immediate review fix for right after the episode.
Yeah, good idea. Let's make a whole day of it.
Then
get snacks.
You can enjoy
hang
this.
Out.
I forgot how long that was. Yeah, but then you can come and enjoy our tomfoolery a little bit later on. And we'll have plenty of time
snipping
to...
snipping at each other about sound clips.
Get all sorts of sounds together.
Wait, Jesse just snipped at me.
He did snip at you. Don't think I didn't notice
he
that.
He snipped at me about snipping.
Yeah.
So I was just noticing. That's all I was doing.
There's none of that on the Open Pike Night.
If this goes sideways, it's Filet-O-Bator all over again.
All right, but anyway, so that's going to be our schedule throughout the season. And so
we're two boxed in.
That's the end of the programming note. What was that? Two boxed in?
We're two boxed in.
You know, sometimes I, you
two
know,
box-tions.
When I'm
two
watching
box-tions.
When I'm watching these episodes, I do try to, like, especially when I'm watching it the second time, I try to think, I was like, oh, which clips are Dan gonna pull? And some of them I think are obvious. Mm-hmm. Others where it's like, ooh, there's kind of a groovy beat to this one. This could be. There's a couple in this episode. You don't need to play them yet. I'm just saying, I think there's a couple.
I like you said, don't worry, Dan. You don't need the
you can save them.
It's
save
like
your
hand
up.
Moving. So what the audience doesn't see is Dan has his whole workstation in front of multiple computers and stuff like that and touch screens.
That's not good.
And what's funny is, you know when you're watching a DJ do a set and you're like, what are they actually doing up there? They're always like fiddling around with buttons and stuff. And you're like, are they really doing something for real? Mm-hmm. I think they must be because I see Dan doing that. Then no sounds are like sounds come out sometimes, but other times he's like clicking things and moving things around. It's like, right. I don't know. He's doing something.
Well, sometimes
he's twiddling.
Because I don't know Dan to be like a fake fiddler.
I'm not a fake fiddler.
He's not going to be fiddling stuff.
He's a true twiddler.
Like his audience is Jesse and
sometimes
he doesn't need to impress us.
So I'm always getting sound sort of on deck, right? And sometimes I decide that they're not going to quite fit, or maybe the moment's passed, and so I pass on it and wait for another moment. I try to put them in when there's a pause, and it's difficult to do that.
Not a lot of pauses on this It's Got Star Trek show.
Well, you know, I'm not saying it happens enough where the timing works out, but I think it would be difficult for any group of people to have a perfect sort of like pause speak. Like someone pauses while the other person plays a sound, like to get that kind of simpatico. Is that the
I think we almost got it.
We do it from time to time, and I think we generally do a pretty good job. Just saying, like,
there's a few awkward pauses.
No human's going to be perfect with that.
What if we got a chess timer? Should we start doing our podcast with a chess timer? We have to click the thing. We say our thing and then we click the. Click the timer.
Where are we going to get a chess timer from?
From the store.
Yeah, I think from the
chess
store.
Timer store.
Like a chess store.
I think just stores.
You
just
actually, that's kind of brilliant.
Buy it on the internet, man. Okay, so why don't we get started here with the conversation?
Why don't we get things started?
A good way to get started is we have a voicemail.
Oh, you thanks.
We have a voicemail. From longtime listener and supporter Grayson.
All right.
Yes. And so I will play that voicemail.
Voila.
Hey guys, it's Grayson, also known as TV Guy Grayson, one of your fellow contributors to the Trek 365 podcast.
Right.
I personally cannot wait to hear what you have to say about Hegemony Part 2 and the other one. I swear, you guys often say out loud in your podcast what I was already thinking while I watched these episodes.
So, thank you.
Because you guys often take the words right out of my mouth, I figured maybe I should just let you put them in.
Mm.
So, Dan, if it's not too much trouble,
all right.
Could you please drop in the adjectives Mad Lib style for my
yes.
idea. All right, here we go. Guys, wow. Hegemony Part 2 was...
intriguing.
I can't believe how...
Strangely, it's a step in the right direction.
I don't know.
It was. Did I understand how they solved the problems? No. Did it matter? No. Because it was so...
Holy crap!
One thing I loved was how, because we know the show is coming to an end now, no one is...
Okay.
...anymore. It makes it so...
Things turn purple. It's not pretty.
Because there's no guarantee that your favorite character is going to make it out alive. I think this season of Strange New Worlds is going to be...
amazing.
Intriguing.
Thanks for taking my call, you guys. And just let me say, as you approach your 300th episode, I think you guys are...
Hi.
Sounds wonderful for the children.
Okay. Is that it?
No.
Oops, guys. Thanks,
Agamemnon.
You did it. That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much, Grayson. That's great. We kind of got through that.
Oh, man, that was rough.
That was fun. That was hilarious.
No, I want to play more of that game in the future.
I like that game. I think Grayson has invented a fun audio Mad Libs game.
That's really hard.
So we encourage other contributors to follow in Grayson's footsteps or ear steps. I don't know. What do you call it when it's an audio submission?
Mm-hmm. Ear steps.
I think footsteps is probably fine. People understand. They can transfer the...
Ear beats.
I don't think that's a thing.
Ear beats.
Okay. but anyway, yes. Thank you very much, Grayson, for sending that in. And yes, we'll get started talking about this this episode. I will say... I think I agree with Grayson if I interpreted his comments correctly. The episode was a little confusing. In my notes, what I put was that this episode was very part two. It was very part two. That's not a bad thing, but it's in the history of Star Trek. You got a lot like the best of both worlds part two. Not quite as engaging or interesting as the best of both worlds part one. Still cool. A good conclusion to that story. But also feels kind of like, okay, they didn't know how it was going to end when they wrote the first part. Mm-hmm. And then they wrote the second part and did their best to have it kind of make sense. And I don't know that it entirely made sense, but I was entertained. I have a lot of positive things to say about the episode.
When I was rewatching the first episode, it was actually kind of late at night. And I was like I said, I was originally just going to watch the newer one. And then I was like, crap, it's late at night. And I still need to watch this first one. So I was trying to rush through it. And I found I was able to get through the first 30 minutes of the first one. And I wanted to watch the rest of the first one, but it was getting super late. Mm-hmm. But I found if I skipped to 7-8 minutes at a time, I was able to still get the gist of the episode.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I remembered part of it, but a lot of that stuff was like just kind of things happening.
Yes.
And you didn't really need it. There weren't too many story beats at that point in the second half of the first episode. But the second episode, I guess there were more beats going on. I don't know.
Hegemony part two?
In Hegemony part two.
Just to clarify, when you're talking about the first part of the episode, you're talking about Hegemony part one.
Yeah, sorry. Not the first part of part two.
Yes. And we should note, everyone's aware of this, but unlike the Best of Both Worlds part two, this part two came basically a full 2 years after the first one aired. That's a long time.
Yeah.
I remember when because season three of TNG was like the first one that I was watching as it aired. And the 3 month wait for Best of Both Worlds start part two, that was a long wait. And I was like, what's going on? It was like, it was TV. You didn't hear anything. There was no internet. So like, there were some like articles and magazines about like Patrick Stewart wanting to leave the show and stuff like that.
Well,
but this was 2 whole years and we knew it was coming. It was fine, but it was a long wait.
And it was a long wait. So. It's still not the longest wait of any show. I'm still waiting for the part two of the last episode of Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer.
You remember, does anyone remember the show Sledgehammer?
Didn't they just have like one season?
They had, I don't know how many seasons. That's a good question.
I think it was one season in 92 or something like that.
How many seasons of
Slip? Oh, I think it was earlier.
Wasn't that the guy who had that like long gun?
It was said there were two seasons.
Okay, two seasons.
Yeah, he had a 44.
Sort of like later 80s.
I think it was the deal was a 44 Magnum. And what happened at the end of season two is it ended on a cliffhanger. And I remember being blown away as a kid because whenever they say like to be continued in an episode, it's like always like, whoa. But this one said to be continued. And then it paused and it said next season. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then it got canceled. And so we're still waiting on that finale. Along with the Alf finale.
I was going to say, yeah. Similar
was
thing
that the guy
Alf?
That was like, yeah. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. That was that sledgehammer.
It's possible. Yeah. I couldn't tell you because it's been
he had
so
the
long.
Really, he had like a really big like revolver.
It was, I think it was a 44 Magnum, yeah. I think the deal. I remember one episode he got all fucked up and was like, his gun was talking to him and he was like,
yeah, I remember the episode where his gun was talking to him.
Yeah, that was a weird show.
It was a very weird show.
That was a weird music video, that Sledgehammer song.
That was completely different, yeah.
A Sledgehammer. Some kind of animated stop animation.
It was
Peter Gabriel.
Pseudo stop animation.
Studio.
By taking photographs.
You know what's funny is that Peter Gabriel was part of Genesis, right?
Yes.
And then Studio was that Phil Collins song or is that Genesis song?
One or the other. It's hard to differentiate between the two for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we used to listen to a Genesis record as a kid. We had a Genesis record in the house. Me and my older brother, we had a Genesis record, and we had like a Mickey Mouse kind of like something. Mouse.
That's a weird combo.
Is it Mouser size or something?
Mouser, yeah.
I do believe.
And there was some kind of.
You've mentioned both the Mickey Mouse thing and the Genesis record on the podcast.
Yeah,
before.
And there was some kind of disco record, and I don't know if that was the part of the Mickey Mouse one because I was so
young. Was it Disco Star Wars?
No, it wasn't. It was some kind of Disney disco, so maybe it was like part of the same Mickey Mouse record. I couldn't tell you. I was so young, and I swear we had a Smurf record too.
Well, I got to tell you, these are fascinating.
And I remember, I know. Well, I remember there was a song that I swear it went like smurfing around the world, but I could have made that up.
Isn't smurfing like fucking?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I guess Smurf can be a verb that means anything, like the word fuck.
It's
interchangeable.
Yeah. I don't like what the Smurf is going on.
Yeah, so that was a really Smurfy diversion. I think.
You but Smurfed up big time.
I did.
I think we got a Smurf on.
You're back for less than 20 minutes and you're smurfing all over the place.
I just remember loving that Genesis record, and Genesis is good, but I just don't remember. I don't know why I love it.
Was that the album where they're like walking? Where they're like walking on a white background?
Like,
is that
can't
that one?
Dance.
Or is
possibly.
That, I don't know.
I just can't remember why I loved it so much. I mean, they're a good band. I just don't know like what about it was so amazing to me back then. But you know,
I know it's
weird. Good. This is good character development for the character of Dan.
Yeah. First time I heard the Flood by They Might Be Giants, it changed my world.
It changed my world as well.
Yeah. See, now that I can understand.
Yeah. I was like, you can like.
I don't know about Genesis.
I was like, you can like every song on an album. Yeah. That's crazy.
Flood is an amazing album.
Yeah.
John Henry's pretty good too.
Yeah.
But, okay. But this isn't It's Got They Might Be Giants. It's Got Star Trek.
Indeed. Indeed. Indeed.
Okay. Back at the ranch, we have Hegemony Part 2. Mm-hmm. This diversion started because you started talking about multiple different episodes and skipping through things and all that other jazz.
Yeah. So there was something about like they had they put a dud torpedo a thing on a torpedo to track them.
Well, we eventually get to that. And
there was something about like how the Gorn like used communicate through like light messages, but at some point along the way they evolved to biometrics at some point.
Yeah, there's multiple things to discuss in that. Why don't we hold that thought just for a second and just
it's a tough situation, but we have to manage it one piece at a time.
Yes, precisely.
Most definitely.
The beginning of this episode was an effective beginning, getting us right back in the action. It used the spinny cam, which I don't always like. Discovery used a lot. But this time it didn't bother me so much because it felt appropriate to the character. It was introducing us to a discombobulated Pike. So it wasn't a super fast spinny cam.
So the spinny cams that I remember is at the beginning there was like a twisty space zoom out cam. At the end there was a twisty pan zoom a pan zoom cam thing. And then I also remember inside the Gorn ship guts, there was a diagonal cam.
Yeah, there was a few of those askew things, but I'm specifically talking about it's a view from behind Pike. He's looking at the view screen and the binary, some stars, you know, or whatever. The battle's going on and the thing just spins around. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how we're introduced back into the middle of the action of the episode. And
don't think about that.
Very typical scene. I think we see a lot of typical Star Trek in this episode.
Totally.
Good and bad. And Dan's already hinted at some of the, you know, questionable stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. But we get right in with that spinny camera. But then there was like this weird thing right at the beginning. This is why I wanted to start. In the recap, Uhura says... Admiral April has called for an immediate return or whatever. Whatever the thing is, she says immediate.
Right.
She says that's the orders to immediately return to base or whatever.
Right.
And then... this episode starts, and the whole gimmick is that Captain Pike is like, well, he didn't say immediate, so so I'm going to use that as an excuse. I'm not disobeying orders. He didn't say immediate, but he did just say immediate, and we know, or at least that's how Uhura relayed it.
Almost exactly.
So it was like this bizarre, like, instant retcon, where, again, the writers didn't, you know, they were writing this episode, they're like, oh, shit, we wrote ourselves into a box here. Let's say he didn't say immediate. We'll just declare that. So, I don't know, right at the beginning.
Two boxed in.
Precisely. The writers are a little too boxed in, I guess.
Too boxed in.
So that was weird. And then the other thing that happened right here in the beginning, because so much happens, like you said, they come up with this plan, and it was a fun Star Trek-y scene where they're all like giving their ideas, and they all come to the conclusion by working together and being effective, competent people. A lot of Star Trek is competence porn. That's one of the reasons why I like it. So I love seeing these types of scenes. And they get the idea of tagging it with this whole special torpedo.
Everybody's got such bright ideas.
There's the joke. Dan played it earlier in the podcast. It's the funny joke where Pike's warp line has hit it. But then they made a joke here because he's like, hit it. He's like, Una, hit it, because he literally means to like hit the other ship.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
So that's a funny joke.
That is a funny joke. Now,
because he even made a funny face. Like, they're having all this drama. And then, like, he says, hit it. And Pike does his like kind of like goofy, like, I'm a goofy guy face.
Let's hit it.
The tone.
It sounds silly.
Yeah, he's like, I know this sounds silly, but it works.
So, is this new lore about like when two ship shields collide, they just sort of disrupt each other now?
I don't know that that's new. I don't know that that's new. I think they've done similar things.
Yeah, I guess they probably have. Yeah. You're talking about a discombobulated Pike. I have a four part list of all Pikes. Ah, Pike went through a range of visual emotions in this episode, and there are four of them.
Four.
So it was at the beginning when Battelle was all fucked up. Pike looked like really sad and stressed out at his chair. He was like looking super, super bummed out. Pike. That was number one.
It's
like,
he's such a good actor too. So it's upsetting when you see him. You're like, oh man, I feel so sad.
Right. And then like when Uhura suggests that they like use biometrics or something to fool the Gorn, and he's like, that'll work, right? He's just like, basically like, she's like, well, I hope they don't look out the window, you know. And then he gives her this look like he's exasperated at her for saying that, and she looks all like, uh-oh, I shouldn't have said that. But I mean, I don't know, it seemed like that was probably a smart thing for her to say, right? To point out all the possibilities, but I couldn't tell if he was exasperated at her or just the situation. But like, he looked but his face was just like, it was great because it was so brief. It was his brief expression on his face. He was just like, jeez.
And I think it was a bit of a meta joke, because they know, again, I think this is related to the writers having to come up with something to fit what they were given, the scenario they were provided, because Uhura's point is a point that the audience would have made if they hadn't addressed it. The audience would have been like, wait a second.
Ships were flying right at the Enterprise.
And what I didn't understand was, I didn't understand what Uhura's line about, like, they evolved. She just said, like, they evolved, so maybe they're using, like, biometrics. It's like, wait.
When did they evolve?
Why would they not still have, like, cameras?
Right.
I get it. Okay, it's aliens or whatever. Screens. I'm not going to complain, because this is nothing new. This is not, this is not, quote-unquote, new Trek being bullshit. No, this is, all Star Trek has had to do this at some point or another to be like, hey, yeah, just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We've got to move the plot along, you know? But it, I don't know. It did stand out a little bit as, I thought they did a good job with the band-aid of calling it out and making a little joke of it, but it's like, okay,
So then there was number three when it was sort of last half of the episode when I think, I don't remember what the line was exactly, but Pike says to Una, he says something like, how many Gorn are there? Can we, you know, basically saying like, let's get ready for an attack. And she's like, there's no way we can take on the entire Gorn fleet. And then he just kind of had this resigned look on his face. Like,
right. Because he was ready to fight. Yeah. He was totally like, well, we got to do something.
He's all like grasping the bridge of his nose. And he's just like,
And but then at the very end, after it was all over, he looked mega relieved. He was just like, oh, thank goodness. He was just like he just made a long pee or something.
What was that deal? He started like doing the Lord's Prayer.
Oh yeah.
He was like, okay.
Right. It was
our Father, you art in heaven. Yeah.
But he said like before that he said something like oh okay.
What he says is
all
right, Dad, you win.
Because
his dad was religious. Right,
but yeah, first he says
okay.
Then he says like all right, Dad. Yeah. Now here it sounds like he's saying you art in heaven.
Our Father. You art in heaven.
Sounds like he's saying you art in heaven, but the line is who art in heaven.
Maybe
but
it's an alternative version.
Maybe I just heard it wrong.
The Lord's Prayer has changed
from like
over
Tennessee
time. Well, if you want to have, I know we need to take a break in a second, and Dan's got more points to make. But if you want to see an interesting evolution of the English language, the Lord's Prayer has been around since Old English days, and you can go on a website and see the Lord's Prayer repeated from Old English to Middle English to early modern English. Really interesting.
I've heard one line, it's like, forgive us our trespasses, but then I think I've also heard it like, forgive us our sins. Like, I've heard different like words here and there. Yeah. So
it's a bunch of nonsense.
It's literature. And literature
no comment.
All right. And with that, we're gonna go ahead and take a break. But when we get back, we are going to continue our fulsome discussion of Hegemony Part 2.
Why?
Dan, you know the pattern.
Oh shit! Sorry, my bad.
It's okay, but we're gonna do it right.
Okay,
because there's a whole season of this coming up. So when we get back, we're gonna finish our discussion of Hegemony Part 2,
and
be right back.
I'm gonna give you a sedative now.
And we're
God!
I can't believe it.
Unbelievable!
I can't believe it.
The timing is impeccable.
It's really amazing.
I was going to do and we're back.
The timing
we did it all the same time.
The timing couldn't have been more off. That you had to be talented to do something like that.
I'm very talented.
It's amazing.
It's really amazing.
It's mind boggling.
I'm an enigma, baby.
You are. I mean, you truly are an enigma.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dan, I'll do it again.
Okay.
And then you can click the thing. And we're back.
Keep it steady and on course.
Hear that, Jesse? Keep it steady and on course.
Doing our best. Real quick.
I may choose to do that.
Real quick. I know we got lots of other stuff to talk about, but I did want to call out the cool use of the motion picture style warp effect at the beginning of this episode, where when they were escaping, you know, they set the tag with the torpedo and then they immediately started warping away. Mm. And it was a sort of rainbowy, stuttery, you know, they did that stutter effect
a
few times.
Oh, yeah, where it goes down to like 10 frames per second.
Yeah, which now, is sort of TOS, TMP.
Was that happening because the radiation was so high? There were so many gamma rays, or was it just because they were warping? I couldn't figure out.
I think it was just shit's gone crazy.
I'm trying to remember did you ever see that Disney
too many gamma
Disney
rays.
Movie about like going into the black hole?
Yes, it's called The Black Hole.
It's called The Black Hole. Did they do that?
Disney's The Black Hole.
Did they do that effect in that movie?
I don't recall.
I don't know. There's some movie that I remember they had that effect.
Star Trek The Motion Picture had a version of this. TOS a couple times had a version of this. TNG once or twice. And other TV shows, of course, when they there was people who are disoriented. You're trying to convey that somebody's disoriented and acting weird, discombobulated. It was another way of demonstrating that. But the warp thing was fun. I enjoyed that.
Speaking of visual imagery, I guess you could have audio imagery. Does that make sense?
I don't know.
Speaking of too many words, does it say one thing?
This guy is full of words. Oh, this human is full of words.
We're dangerous.
Indeed.
What did you guys think about the scene where Pike and Batel were all looking at each other, and then it faded into the binary star?
I really liked it.
I liked it too. Now, the complaint in the past has been, That you've brought up, Patrick, and I agree with you, is sometimes in the past in certain of the recent Star Trek shows is they'll have like a neat looking fade to another scene, but it won't have any kind of symbolic meaning. So it's
this had meaning
because the two of them, Pike and Patel, they're like binary stars.
This was a very well directed episode, and similar to the spinny scene with Pike, where again, normally it aggravates me, but in that case, it really felt like it was conveying the emotion that Pike was feeling, that he was spinning out of control, literally, right?
That's true, too.
It worked as a visual metaphor. The fade to Pike and Batel to the binary stars I thought was great. There were a lot of great shots with the binary stars. There was Pike in silhouette from behind, standing between the binary stars. There was the shot of the Enterprise flying away from the binary stars. It was very nicely framed.
Whenever the Gorn ships would fly like in through like the middle of them and like all disappear.
Was he postulating that the binary stars were the homeworld of
or
the
it was
Gorn?
On the other side
it was being hidden by the
gravity was like pulling the making them invisible.
This is one of those things that doesn't fully make
sense. So here's the thing, so the gravity was pulling I couldn't tell, so something was pulling the light away and obscuring them. Now was it the gravity from the binary stars? But then they were also talking about how they can up their like magnetic field to suck away the gamma rays or something from the ship to make them visible. So I was like, the gravity makes them invisible, but then they use magnetic field to suck off the gamma rays to make them visible. That doesn't match up. I think I must have just interpreted it incorrectly. I think I didn't get it because it doesn't make sense that you would.
I don't think you're the only one.
I think this is a little confusing.
This is an old school Star Trek. Just go with it.
Yeah, but it's like if something's going to be made invisible because the light got pulled by gravity, you would make it visible by like pulling the light back, but they didn't pull the light back. They pulled the gamma rays back, or something.
Like using like 3D thinking to like fly to the other side of the star or something. Like it was not clear. They were like,
it wasn't clear
if they were like in between the binary stars or behind them, and like by going through there, it just made it hard to see. And it was plot specific tomfoolery,
right? And so
it made it seem fine.
So I got the impression that they were cloaked in some fashion, and I was wondering if they were
the Gorn.
I'm wondering if
it was the hologram that Una talks about, that the gravity caused a hologram.
Holograms.
There we go. Yes. No.
Holograms.
Or
hologram.
Or
holograms.
Yeah, that one. That's the one. It's that.
Yikes.
Oh, yes.
See, we could have used that yikes last week, because one of the topics of conversation on last week's episode, where Dan and his sounds were absent because he was on shore leave. We were discussing shore leave. Whoa. And shore leave has one of those deals where they got Irish people who are stereotypes, and Star Trek has this long history of stereotyping the Irish, like Up the Long Ladder and Finnegan and Shore Leave.
I'm not joking, Lee.
And there's other examples. In the next episode, which we'll talk about next week, there is an Irish person who is not totally made a fool of. He's a little bit made a fool of, but we'll talk about that.
The list gets weirder as it goes on.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that next week. So I was wondering if the cloaking was, if there were supposed to be some kind of like they didn't have cloaking yet in Star Trek, did they?
Maybe the Romulans.
Maybe it turns out that they used the Gorn tricks to come up with cloaking. Yeah. I don't know.
I think the Romulans probably had some form of cloaking.
The
Klingons.
The Klingons and the Romulans.
The Klingons had that fake cloaking in Discovery, beginning of Discovery, where it was like holographic projectors around the big Klingon ship, T'Kuvma's ship, wasn't it?
I see it. I don't believe it.
T'Kuvma!
T'Kuvma!
Da-lampu!
Da-lampu!
Da-lampu! T'Kuvma!
What was it when he was like Andorian poo? Human poo?
I forget. Human poo!
Weapons from a crap pile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, this looks like an evacuation pile.
Evacuation.
Holy crap!
I get it now. I didn't catch that joke before.
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
You know,
there's a lot of good jokes in this episode.
That evacuation pile didn't look shitty enough to me. It looked a little...
It was gooey.
It was gooey. It should have been shittier.
It was a different kind of digestive process, I think.
Yeah. So, right. Oh, I was going to mention, also, you were mentioning the Gorn ships, Jesse. Those Gorn ships sure are spinny, aren't they?
Very spinny.
Now, at first I was thinking...
Too spinny.
Pinwheelies.
I remember when I first saw them, and I kind of thought this at the beginning of this season until I remembered what the deal is on the inside. I was like, they must get dizzy in there. But then they show on the inside, they actually stay... Mm. suspended, and the ship spins. Yeah, it's a gyro time.
It's fine,
but it's like it's so spinny. There's no reason for it to be so spinny. No.
I thought it looked cool.
I would see a reason to
totally
be spinny
cool, yeah.
If they were shooting. Then you might be cool to spin it, but otherwise, it looks super cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
it looked super cool, but it's like kind of like I'm not sure why.
The swarm action looked cool. I get why they did it. I think what wasn't super exciting to me in the Hegemony Part 1 and Part 2 with the way they've portrayed the Gorn is it was a little bit more insecty than lizardy.
Yeah.
I thought...
And they're all agile.
Why not go for the more lizardy style? But I guess they wanted to have lots of little ships doing all that little ship stuff.
When one Gorn lifted up Ortega's and then Lon blew its head off, it reminded me of Pumpkinhead.
Yeah. It was like Pumpkinhead. Oh my God, you're right. Yeah, it reminded me of something I didn't make the connection until just now. You're right.
Yeah.
Pumpkinhead's a fucked up movie.
An actor from Deep Space Nine.
No. Pumpkinhead?
Yeah. Are talking about Lance? Is it Lance Hendrickson in that? Or is it... who is in that?
The guy that plays Garrick.
Is Andrew Robinson in Pumpkinhead? Oh, yeah. You know what? Is he? I can't remember.
He's like the sheriff or like... He's like, you know...
Oh, man. I got to watch Pumpkinhead.
One of the guys that fights Pumpkinhead.
So back to the subject of ships flying around. It got me thinking about Battlestar... The newer Battlestar Galactica did an awesome job with flying in space because it used more inertial.
Because
it doesn't fly like a jet in atmosphere and gravity. It kind of flings itself around like you'd expect. Like it can go straight and then it hits some bottom thrusters and flips around and spins and does all that shit.
The Expanse is very good with that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Expanse, especially in the books, but they mentioned on the show as well, they're shooting out railgun bullets and then there's like you can hit those later, years later. They're just flying through space.
And so a reason why the Gorn ship it shouldn't spin around like that so much because in space, there's no sort of aerodynamic reason they would need to keep spinning like that. Like I said, it would only matter if they were shooting their guns. But speaking again of Battlestar Galactica, so that whole inside the Gorn ship guts.
Bears beats in Gorn Battlestar Galactica.
Gorn ship guts. Remember when okay, so first of all, I like that shot where like they were looking down the ship and all those Gorn were running at them from a distance.
They were running orc style.
Yeah, and then there was one
Moria orcs.
They were once hanging off the ceiling. They looked like Horriblins. Horriblins.
Oh yeah, Horriblins.
Horriblins. Horriblins.
Yes, from
Zelda.
Zelda.
Yeah,
Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom.
And I love that shot where La'an is shooting sort of towards the screen, and off in the distance you see a little tiny like Gorn.
In the distance.
Yeah, oh boy, I knew that was gonna happen. I knew
the game's dragging on.
Ah, Bohid.
I love that you could see it running in the distance, off in the distance.
Yeah, like running.
And I was like, I hope they don't cut this shot. I hope it runs all the way towards the screen because I was afraid they were going to cut it off. But you get to watch it run all the way to the front of the screen. I thought it was cool. And then so they did that, and then they ran through some sphincter towards the pilot. What's a pilot?
What's a pilot?
What's
a pilot?
Ah, boy.
That wasn't funny.
For the uninitiated, I've made a Pulp Fiction reference.
You know, give me a heart attack.
And we don't know why, but it is not uncommon on the It's Got Star Trek podcast us to make Pulp Fiction references.
Bottom line it for me.
If you're not familiar with the line we're referencing, don't worry. It shouldn't impact your enjoyment of this episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. But
I can't help wondering if we didn't just create a problem for someone else to solve later.
Maybe every now and then there's a Reservoir Dogs reference, but there's usually lots of Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction and Spaceballs. But what you can do is you can go, and if you haven't seen Pulp Fiction, or if you haven't seen it enough to recognize the references, you should go watch it.
Oh yeah, it's worth it.
It's a good movie. It's a great movie. It's what got me into movies.
Yeah.
It's the movie that got me into movies.
Yeah.
It got you into movies? You'd go that so far as to say that?
I loved movies before that, but when I watched Pulp Fiction, I was like, I didn't know you could do this with a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And it changed my understanding of the art of film, the philosophy of film, from what was mere childish entertainment to really understanding it as a medium for contemplating the human condition and manipulating people's minds, and not necessarily in a bad way.
Intriguing.
Oh, this human is full of worms.
That's what we get paid for.
So they ran through that sphincter. It was like a butthole they ran through to get to the cockpit.
Do you have any other analogies?
A cockpit.
Well, I'm getting back to my...
You gotta run through the butthole to get to the cockpit.
I'm getting back to my story because I was cut off, so I have to lead back into my story.
Previously on Dan.
So they were running through the butthole to get to the cockpit.
Get to the cockpit.
They were getting, and remember, after all this time has passed since I first started this story, we might have forgotten that I referenced Battlestar Galactica, but that plays a part in this. So Ortega's gets on that ship, right?
Yeah.
And she starts like flying it around. That whole thing, this whole idea of the Gorn ship and the guts and her flying it, it reminded me of that the fighter ships in New Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. Which were like a Starbuck was like. They were like living things. They had like guts and shit like that. You remember those ships? There was that scene where she got inside one of the ships and the way she steered it was like pulling on, like if you have a crab claw and you pull on a tendon in the crab claw.
Yeah, it was
claw,
all weirdo.
And then you like make the crab claw open and close. That I one of the ships, that. She was like pulling, steering it by pulling on its tendons. Mm-hmm. And that seems like that whole Gorn ship scene sort of reminded me of that whole idea in, because I don't know why the Gorn ship had like guts. I know it was digesting things for them to eat, but I don't know why it worked that way. But it seems like they were inspired by Battlestar Galactica a little bit in that sense, because it was
gross.
Because that inside of the ship, that was organic material in that it was just a ship, but it was like organic material that was digesting shit. Yeah. You know,
so say we all.
At some point, somebody was all like, "Get to the ship," and it was all like,
"Get to the chopper!" Yeah.
Scene in the Gorn.
Oh, no, that's not Gin.
In the Gorn ship, which I agree, I thought two major points. The production value in the Gorn ship, the production design was fantastic. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was for a TV show.
Yeah.
They put a lot of thought into the world building of how this thing works and
it was
visualizing
really graphic.
It was very graphic. The gross, dehydrated, like half digested people.
And like that face, that fucking melted face, the skin was off. And her hand, when you saw her hand all fucked up.
Like, Ortega's hand going?
She's all freaking out.
Yeah, there. If you look back, the fingers are missing and it's all burned up. Yeah.
That was great. But as you pointed out, Dan, they were very judicious in the editing. They showed restraint, which I loved because it made the scene that much more impactful.
How much did you love it?
I don't know how to finish that construct. I know if it's like, how hot was it? But how do I finish the joke?
I loved it as much as the day is long.
Is that...
Boy, are my arms tired.
I mean, is that a joke?
It's not a joke. I just took a joke and turned it into something very profound.
Oh.
A profound
As the day is long.
Okay, is this all coming to a screeching halt?
You converted a joke into not a joke.
Not a quit.
But anyway.
It's not good.
The long and the short of it is that...
Things turn purple. It's not pretty.
Mm.
Production design and the editing was great. However, this scene did have, again, a lot of those sort of Star Trek-style things where you're like, okay, so they can figure out how to use the alien interface. They can read the alien interface. Mm-hmm. Apparently get access to the specific information they need. Just happens to have all the transport codes for every single person because this database, for some reason...
You just stroll through the doors and fly the ship.
You can come up with headcanon for all of this, and it's fine. I'm not going to let it bother me because, again, this is nothing new. In Star Trek, it's very common for people to just be able to fly an alien ship, to read alien languages, to do all this stuff. Every single Star Trek series has done it.
Starfleet, man. They got exceptional
folks.
So
we just have to accept that. However, the rest of this show in general is so grounded. The acting is so good and the writing is really high quality, generally speaking, that when they do these things, it does stand out, especially when as cool as it was, La'an is like looking at the data. She's like, here's the transport codes. And then she just sort of like rips out an organic ghibli bit like you were talking about, Dan. She's just like, thunk, now I have it on this. Yeah. I not only know how to use this interface, but I know that I can just like sort of tug this piece off and now I'm carrying around the data. This is the equivalent to a USB drive. And
like
I know that.
Claws.
Yeah.
Get it done. Get it done.
I understand. That's good. I understand that La'an has previous experience with the Gorn and all that other stuff.
Oh, no.
So it's fine.
Fine.
It's monster. Fine.
Fine.
Don't even worry about it. It's
Don't
all
Don't even
good.
Worry about it.
But it's worth noting.
What are you worried
about? This is a massive digestive chamber.
Sam Kirk's a puker.
Yeah,
I'd be a puker too in this situation. I would be the one who gets let out of the little cocoon and just immediately starts heaving.
Did he get any puke on his mustache?
Yes, his little drawn-on mustache, pencil-thin mustache is...
I reacted poorly.
You chose poorly.
Say it may be our only hope.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Still jammed, sir.
Jammed! Jammed. Raspberry.
Raspberry.
Only one man would dare give me the raspberry.
Radar about to be...
I don't know why that's all soft. Because that's a bad part, isn't it? Yeah.
Not if we jam it.
Still jammed, sir.
Jammed.
You can hear the squeak noise of him, yeah, like rubbing the Mr. Radar screen or whatever.
Mr. Radar.
Get it done.
Get it done.
On that note, there was one. I have to play this real quick. I know this is.
He's
kind
got
of,
Jesse. He's this, he has to.
It's kind of like breaking. It's breaking the flow. But this is an actual beat I found that it's not people saying things. It's like sounds that creates a cool beat.
Sound beats.
Sound
that's,
beat
that, for us. That's unusual.
It's unusual. So this one. See, and I can do this with it.
Yeah.
That you can use that as like an actual beat, not just people saying things in rhythm.
Why don't, like a beat.
Why don't you lay down a philosophical rap for us?
I know, man, and I'm always talking about this would be so good. I should make a beat like this, and Patrick's response is like, "Do it then." And yeah. I'm just like, "I don't know, I don't know."
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, time to see if it actually works.
It's like you have the capability, the capacity. Right. You even have the tools. You have like a house full of crazy instruments and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Any other beats?
No.
Were there no.
No.
Did you have that line? I wasn't sure if you were going to pick this one, but there was a line from, and I'm going to be unhelpful here because I don't remember what the line is.
Oh, that's helpful.
But it was a line that Una says that she's talking about, I don't know, radiation or some shit.
Retreat and rescue.
Wait, is it this?
X-class flares and super arcade downflows.
Yeah. That one?
That's the one.
I knew it. Because she said supra, it sounds like she's saying super.
X-class flares and super arcade downflows.
But I think she's saying supra.
Yeah, supra.
Arcade. She's talking about arcades.
Yeah,
it's
arcade downflows.
X-class flares and supra arcade downflows.
Downloads.
What the fuck does that
super
mean?
Super arcade downloads. Yeah.
I just like that they use the word. What the whole line is: the science team chipped in on the math and was able to isolate the presence of X-class flares and supra arcade downflows that preceded their absence. I don't know what that means, but I like that they use the word arcade and supra arcade at that.
Super VGA.
And X-class downflows. That's awesome that I knew what you were talking about,
yeah.
Patrick.
It is very awesome.
I did a better job at that than I did with Grayson's Mad Libs. I need to practice that more.
I don't know. I thought you did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah,
I didn't interrupt you so much either. Yeah.
I was a little fiddly with the old stop and starting, but you know, I got to practice too.
I got to get more in that mode. This is good practice for me. This will, Grayson, help me get better at just doing sounds in general. So this is a great exercise.
Maybe that's
for
one
me.
We
so
should have practiced before.
No. The point is you have to. It's
extemporaneous.
Yeah, because that will help me be able to improvise during the show better.
Okay.
Grayson
okay.
has come up with an excellent exercise for me.
Dan likes to get into that live improv flow state.
Yeah,
that's cerebral. Baby.
I'm like
focus
that
on hope.
Yeah, it's a problem when a lot of activities I participate in, there's an expectation of having well rehearsed presentations. Yeah. And I don't like doing that. I like getting up there and shooting the shit. Yeah. I like getting up there and being like,
it's
hey,
like,
buddy,
hey, everybody,
how's it going?
Hey,
what's shaking today?
What's the deal with homework?
what's the deal?
Peanuts on airplanes.
Indeed.
People always make fun of like shitty comedians that talk about peanuts on airplanes, but has there ever really been a stand-up act that anyone can think of where comedians talk about peanuts on airplanes?
They were standing in front of a brick wall.
There's an Ellen DeGeneres bit about peanuts.
Oh, is there?
And there's like a Seinfeld bit about peanuts.
Okay, Jesse with the answer. I was just assumed that it was just one of those... What would you call it? A straw man where they just make something up?
That is a straw man if you're creating something against with which you will be arguing.
But Jesse came up with examples, and so thank you for that,
I remember
Jesse.
Stuff from back
They call
back
him
back.
Jesse the Answer Man.
Yeah, Jesse the Answer Man.
You got answers to questions nobody asks.
You almost, Dan, said,
hey, Jesse the Answer Man. Hey, Jesse the Answer Man.
Hey, Jesse the Answer Man. I got an answer for
you. Hey, Jesse the Answer Man. Do you have all the answers?
Okay, so getting back to the old...
Inertial dampeners. They said inertial dampeners.
They did.
Totally did.
Not
they
dampers.
Did. That's an ongoing...
Dampers, ongoing pampers.
Inertial dampers.
It was the captain's.
But on the...
You
on,
said but.
Yes, I did. On the Gorn ship, another thing that I thought was just kind of funny was when La'an frees herself, Neo from the Matrix style.
Yes.
And then she's all like, rescue the doctor first, like remembering some training.
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. She's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. It is correct. It is sensible in an emergency situation in which there is a doctor available. Absolutely, yes. Rescue the doctor first, because the doctor can then help with the other people.
Strangely, it's a step in the right direction.
Now that being said, it was just sort of weird that she said that, and in this case, it made no difference, because they were all like immediately rescued.
Yeah.
Like, they all like right. yes, he helped free Puker Kirk.
I want
Kirk.
To save them all.
But, you know, I'm not a monster.
A monster.
I want to save them all. I'm not a monster.
Yeah, it's true. They didn't. Mbenga didn't have enough of a role, I think.
They didn't need to do. He didn't need to be like. Mbenga. She didn't need to say that. She could have just. She could have rescued him first without saying it out loud.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. There was really no point.
Were the writers just being like, "Here's a good tip to pass along to the kids"?
Yeah, it certainly was no. Chakotay's gun. Chekhov's gun.
Chekhov's gun, yes. I was wondering where you're going. Oh, yes. So, in other words, you mention the gun in the first act, it has to be fired in the third act.
Yeah, there was no re-mentioning of it. You're right. I didn't think about that. That's good.
And it immediately went to they were all out.
You guys are hip.
And doing stuff.
You guys are down with it.
Copy.
So, yeah, copy. I found that one of the other peculiar things in this episode.
I thought Palea was being a little bit hard on Scotty in this episode. She was like being like, why didn't you write it down?
Right.
He's like, I was about to die. And she's like, well, if you written it down, we'd be better. And it's like, well, if he wrote it down, they might not be there at all.
She was just totally being like the way that Scotty like didn't like her. Like,
yeah,
she,
like, but it was pretty funny when
she tricked him.
She's annoying.
Yeah, she tricked him into thinking that the Gorn were there when they're that was fucked up.
Yeah.
But then, like, then when he was all pissed, he was kind of annoyed at the end. Then she was like, "Oh, Scotty!" Like, like when he was pissed about it, it almost seemed like she felt bad for him when he's walking
she
away.
She felt bad in that case because he was reminded of his dead.
Was that it?
His dead engineer.
Okay,
chief of engineering.
I didn't pick that up. He mentions. Yeah. I didn't pick it up. He mentions it directly.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up that he was getting emotional over it. It's hard to picture Scotty as emotional in this role.
Yeah. But they're showing him grow into the miracle worker that he'd become. He's learning some lessons here, whether he likes it or not. Now, I felt real nerdy because I was listening to Pella and I was like, yeah, you're right. You should, you know, just turn on the recorder. I get it. Emergency situation. I get. Of course.
I don't know.
Of course.
It's just when you're in the moment,
Scotty gets away with
I think she gave him a little bit too hard of a time for it, I think. Yeah. But I guess we're not in agreement.
But she did trick him successfully in a it was a good management technique specific to this employee.
Okay, so is this kind of the first moment we see Scotty talking about how he can't do it but then he does it because of Scotty.
Yeah.
But are we to believe that in this episode, he was actually afraid that he couldn't get the shit done in time. Like, he was afraid he couldn't. But then in that TNG, what's the TNG episode with Scotty in it?
Relics.
In TNG, there's a scene where he's talking to Geordi, and he's straight up like, just tell him that you can't do it. That way, when you do, they'll be all happy. And Geordi's all pissed off. He's like, what? Fuck you, you know? I'm going to tell him exactly what I think. I'm not going to make him think I can't do it and then do it. So that
specifically
kind of,
in that case, he was saying to overestimate the time it
would take. Yeah, exactly, to overestimate. But like, but in here, the difference is he actually believes he can't do it. But then when he's talking to Geordi, he's implying that he could always do it. He's just lying and
like
saying
years post-retirement versus he's a lieutenant.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's still learning.
But it's a different character. Over time.
Yeah, but it just seems weird though that like it starts with truth and then it ends in a lie, you know. It starts
That's how life is, baby.
He's telling the truth.
Audience, Dan's learning some hard lessons about the world today. Look out the window lately. Look outside.
Stop.
There's just like darkness and demons flying around. We're like in here recording a podcast. Yeah, there's like just cackling devils.
Don't be rude.
People are at the window right now, just like, just like
fires flames in the distance.
Oh, you minx.
Well,
minx.
Just saying he
wanted to call her a worse word.
He did.
But he didn't.
He wanted to call her a mungo face.
Yeah.
A mungo? Face.
What's a mungo face?
I don't know, Dan.
It sounds close to not being good.
Bad. I don't
want to go down that path. Just saying he was telling the truth when he said he couldn't do it, and then later in his life, that truth turns into, like, I'll just lie about the fact I can't do it. So at what point did he start lying?
Maybe that's one of the lessons he learns, that to get ahead in life, you gotta lie through your teeth.
Mm.
And it's okay, you'll get away with it as long as you're white.
Diversionary tactics.
Retreat and rescue.
That's right.
Diversionary tactics.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We're about to hit up into a break.
Us shine like the sun.
Any brief points or miscellaneous sounds to play before we go to break?
I got some of these. Oh yeah, you got it. You beat me. I can do this.
I used to be able to do the cricket, but I can't really. I can't purse my lips enough.
What the fuck was that?
What's great is that actually freaked Dan out. Justin
made that weird. Stop it.
Stop.
The look on Dan's face, I don't know if I've seen that
what
look
the
on
fuck
Dan's,
was
Dan's
that?
Face before. You're like, there's something there.
You know, give me a heart attack.
All right. Well, that was apropos.
How
about this? Let's go ahead and take a break.
What?
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and then we can...
you said miscellaneous? I was saying one time I played in a band, and we played with another band, and they were called Miscellaneous Seeds. Isn't that interesting story? Another interesting story.
Dan's full of great character development...
Personal character
Personal
development.
Anecdotes this week. Okay.
Don't be rude.
So when we get back, we will be concluding our discussion of Hegemony Part 2. We will be right back.
As soon as we can, you warp out of here. Helm, full stop.
Wake up!
Jesse, I know you're doing a bit, but really, and I know I said I was going to be like laughy cool, and it's still funny, but it seems like
I didn't even hear him because I edited it out. It's like with kids, you know, like you're just like...
I don't know, but...
Oh, yeah, Dan might know, but like when you have children, eventually your brain just edits out their wavelength because you just can't... You can't survive by paying attention to them all the time.
Now, was that you doing a bit right there, or did you really forget again that I play a sound after he says welcome back?
I think he might have a Tourette's. I think he might have a problem.
He's not answering.
I think it's an intrusive thought thing where he makes little sounds sometimes.
I was doing a bit.
Yeah. Okay. See, he doesn't want to admit that he has some mental problem.
Well, just so you know, I get the bit. And I get the bit.
Got a screw loose. A
little bit. Speaking of
still here.
Craziness. I don't know the segue into this.
You can go.
All I was going to mention was the Captain Patel stuff, and it's an intriguing little subplot. Of course, we care about Captain Patel, but mainly this is to do some character development with Spock and Chapel, right? It's important, and I thought it was nicely acted between them. They're doing some problem solving.
She had weird bubbles, back bubbles.
She had gremlins.
Yeah.
Captain Patel had a bad case of the gremlins, or the Gornlins, if you want to call it. But yeah, the bubbles on her back looked like, that's the point I was getting at. She had a case of gremlins.
She had a case of the gremlins. Now, that actually plays into what I was saying, because when they were talking about how Patel's body was becoming as dependent on the Gorn hatchlings as the hatchling were on her, I thought they were going to make that play into the plot somehow. Like somehow it's like, well, because now the Gorn are dependent on her, they're going to somehow use that against the Gorn. I don't know how.
Well, there was an implication she had. Remember how she said the whole, like, it goes both ways thing?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The implication did seem to be, like they'd use that if you can use me to destroy the Gorn...
I'll use you.
I Borg style.
Kind of like how Picard, you know, refused to genocide... the Borg,
this is a
when
thing.
They had a chance
long-time
to.
Listeners will know this is a thing that Dan brings up.
We haven't done it in a little while.
The Borg business.
He had that opportunity to get rid of the Borg, and he
featured
wouldn't do
on it. Trek 365, in fact. The podcast that comes out every single day that we've contributed to on many occasions, as has Grayson.
They make the Gorn really, they're still really monstery. Are we ever going to have any empathy for the Gorn, you think? Or are they going to keep them as monsters?
Empathy for the Gorn.
Yeah, because
they're a little different.
I don't think we're going to see the Gorn much anymore.
You think that's
I think they put them into hibernation. I think they were like, you know what? This shit's expensive. aggressive,
yeah,
and just, hard. I mean, will make this torture plot lead to them being hibernated, because that's why Pike had that whole line about, like, I guess it's going to be a problem. I'm worried about this is a problem for somebody else someday.
Right.
That's exactly how he said it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you play the audio.
But I can't help wondering if we didn't just create a problem for someone else to solve later.
Exactly. Yes. Right.
I didn't talk over that one.
Yeah. Congratulations, Jesse.
I'm not mad.
We'll print out the certificate.
I apologized in advance for my behavior.
No.
And you accepted that apology.
I did. No, and I wasn't mad. I was just curious because prior to that, you were like, it's a bit. And like, I was like, okay, I get the bit. Haha. So I was just wondering if it's not a big deal. It's fine. I'm not mad. I was just,
It's
not
a big deal.
It's just funny it happened like, We've been pointing it out this whole episode, and it's fine. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
It's fine.
You're a wonderful person. Aww. And I value your contributions more than you can even know.
I think I'm just gonna watch it from now on.
That's mysterious. More than you can even know.
I really don't want to lose you.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay, you guys got to kiss now.
Kiss each other.
A manly kiss on the lips.
So look, I don't have a problem with like them not making the Gorn more empathetic. I get it. They're the big bads or whatever. And it's just like, and it's fine if they get rid of them at this point. I guess it just would have been kind of nice to get some sort of like.
It would be more Star Trek.
Like I keep wanting to say they're more human side, but they're not human. I don't know what the proper word is to say. The best I can think of is to say like if we had more empathy for them. I don't know what a better word for that is, but
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it would be nice to get some sort of to make them more three dimensional somehow.
Yes, precisely.
They're one dimensional. They're not even two dimensional.
No. It is a flaw in the Gorn. It's not, well, okay. I hesitate to say flaw because what it is, the Gorn are being used as a plot device. Mm-hmm. They're just to be scary, present a threat. I agree with you, however, that really the more Star Trek-y thing to do would be to somehow bring it around to, oh, it's a miscommunication, or they have diversity in their culture, or there's different factions of Gorn, or something. Just again to make it a little bit more interesting than slathering monster beasts that are beaming people up just to digest them in pods.
Right. Now, I guess
when they seem to be very sophisticated in other ways, by the evidence of their technology and their strategy, requires
they got spaceships.
Really advanced thinking.
Evidence.
Yes. There we go.
But now on the other hand, whenever I say on the other hand, I think of Tim Roth in Reservoir Dogs. Because one part he goes like, on the other hand.
On the other hand.
On the other hand.
Yeah.
He says it like that. On the other hand.
He says it all super British.
On the other hand. That's how they say it in British, right? They go, on the other hand. Right? That's how they say it.
I don't think that's how he talks.
That's how they pronounce hand. They go, and. On the other hand.
Yeah. I mean, keep going.
On the other hand. I'm trying to think of an example of when they end with the word and then they begin the next vowel word with an R.
All right.
Or end the other one with an N.
Banana. What's
it?
Banana.
Well, stop trying and just do it. They would say, just think it.
Banana.
Jamaica.
Banana.
Banana. So if they were going to say, but that banana's angry. That would that banana, that's a banana angry. They'd say that banana angry. That's what they'd say.
They'd say
that's a very flawed example.
Banana angry.
That's that banana angry. That's
that banana's gone hospital.
Hospital.
It got injured and it went hospital.
Hospital. Hospital. Yeah.
It's a Waldorf.
It got run over by a lorry. They got tossed. The lorry driver tossed them in the boot.
In the boot.
And took them to hospital.
That banana angry. That would say how you say that banana angry. That's how you'd say it in British. That banana that banana angry. Am I becoming offensive?
To our UK friends, write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com and tell us how you'd say that banana got angry.
It's that banana angry.
Okay,
because it has to be when you the next word has to begin with a vowel and then you add an R to the end of the previous word.
Right. Let us know at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
I just can't think of a better example right now.
Dan is accurately characterizing
the sentence that banana angry. How would you say that in
local UK slang? Yeah. By the way, UK famously has an exceptional diversity of accents.
Yes, yes.
To the point where you can tell even people's neighborhoods.
Yeah.
From where they're talking.
Yeah. Too small.
A Harrow accent. That's
the creeps.
Indeed.
Continue
your series of points.
Series of points.
Dan's series of points.
So I was talking
copyright trademark. So registered.
I was talking about the Gorn. right? And I was talking about monsters. Oh yeah, the Borg. The Borg. Yeah. The Borg.
The Borg.
The Borg. On the only.
The Borg.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
A bee. The Borg.
A Borg.
Yeah. Duck.
Oh man, yeah. I don't know if I can even find that anymore.
You've got to be. It's in your database.
It's in here somewhere. Yeah. In all these fucking lists of things, I just have to find the.
We're gonna hold the thought about the Borg versus the Gorn. You're gonna make an insightful point about that, but we do have to. See about playing this audio file.
Yeah,
from
I don't
Picard,
know.
Picard season 3.
Yeah, this list. The problem is, there's no good way to search through the episodes of like this list, and it might
can't
actually
you just search for Borg.
See, the problem is, it also yeah, I can, but like
or
I have
like
to search.
A bee?
But I have like two. They're two separate files, right?
Yeah, we gotta explain this all to the audience. You've got to explain it to Jesse now. We don't know how your system works.
I don't always really know what the hell's going on. I forgot the mechanics of the podcast.
Yeah, so see, I can search for that, and then I guess I could add it to, I don't know what I'll do, I'll add it to my best of. I'll see if I can, ooh, it is in my best of. Ooh, 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 ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh. Car 54, ooh. Car 54, where are you?
What I was gonna.
Is it Tootie?
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Where's it like?
No, not Tootie. That's not Tootie. Tootie's from Facts of Life.
I thought there was a Tootie.
I think it was, like a Fred Tootie something.
One of those guys was Tootie.
Yeah. The Borg.
Maybe it was the big guy.
The Borg. The bee. The Borg. The bee.
A duck.
There we go. Thank you. That's what we were getting.
That was in my best of this whole time. Okay, what I was talking about is I was lamenting the fact that the Gorn aren't more empathetic characters, but on the other hand, like on the other hand, the Borg were always thought of as like this kind of like monstery character, right? Kind of like the Gorn.
Pretty much always.
And some people can, and they tried to make the Borg a little bit like more two, three dimensional. And some
like an iBorg.
Some like an that's a good
iBorg
point.
iBorg is the episode
that's a good one.
Where they introduced the idea of empathy.
But some might argue that the later ones they tried to do that, they had limited success with doing that.
I think iBorg is the better one.
The iBorg is the good one.
The Borg Queen, Descent Parts 1 and 2, another one that has a part.
They should have just ended with iBorg.
And it's Star Trek?
Yeah, no, not Star Trek.
You think Star
That's
Trek?
It, Star Trek.
Star Trek should have just
No. The Borg. Sorry, the whole Borg thing. Wait, there was what's the two-parter where we introduced the Borg?
Well, there's the best of both worlds, but they it was
the Borg are like early on.
Yeah, that's early on.
What's the one where Locutus?
But there's
which is Locutus?
It's Q Who or one of them. It's one of the Q ones.
Which is the one where
Locutus is best of both worlds.
Right. So they have
Cupid. No, it's not Cupid. It's I think
fuck,
it's Q
Cupid.
I like Cupid. I know you're right. You're not wrong. I still like Cupid.
There are funny parts of
we
Cupid.
We haven't done Cupid.
No, it's
your
fine.
Algorithm
it's fine.
Hasn't selected Cupid for us to discuss.
No talking like a grizzled 1890s prospector. Consarn it.
This sound just said consarn it, and I thought that's all it was going to say, and then it said a whole bunch of shit. Okay. So I'm going to finish this thought.
Right.
Best of both worlds, good. Then the iBorg was later on. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. And when was Q, the other Q Who?
I think it was Q Who. It was one of the Q ones. It was like second season.
Was that, and the iBorg was the last of those four episodes, right? Between iBorg, Q Who, and
iBorg came later.
They should have ended the Borg stuff on iBorg.
So we just don't know what happens after that.
What about Voyager?
Because what we find out is...
Well, the Borg...
Voyager overused the Borg.
They go back to the Borg too much.
I love Seven of Nine, but a lot of the Voyager stuff, it was too much.
You know,
It defanged the Borg over the time.
And they could have kept Seven of Nine. Like, I think she was a really good character.
After iBorg, we see Descents Part 1 and 2, and that shows the ramifications of what happened after iBorg. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's all the Voyager Borg stuff, some Enterprise Borg stuff.
Borg stuff.
What are you gonna do
the
about
Borg
it?
Be.
A duck.
We want to talk about some Chapel stuff, I guess. Was getting emotional for Chapel, and she was all like, "I'm not good at complicated." That's code for like, "I hate love," isn't it? That's like, "I hate love," or it's like Spock,
not with you.
Yeah, Spock. She's like,
"With you."
That's actually, you're right. It's her way of saying, "Spock, you're a little much for me right now."
It was a great scene between them when Spock was like, "Oh, do you think like some time away will be good for us?"
Yeah,
and she's like,
"I just don't." like,
here's the deal, dude. It's not us.
She's like, we have our whole lives to figure that out. Yeah. You know, one of those kinds of lines. It's like, ugh.
I'm gonna be going hanging out with this sexy dude. Dr.
Yeah, Kobe. She's just trying to let him down. I'm not good with complicated meats. Like, you're too clingy.
And by the way, that's in character for Nurse Chapel on Strange New Worlds. That's been her character arc. She pushes people away.
Why did they break up? I can't even remember.
Well, he freaked out a little bit, and also she wanted to go do this opportunity, and there was the whole singing episode, which I really enjoyed because that's where some of this stuff went down.
It's weird to think that Spock is like clingy. I don't know.
But
it's,
this is earlier Spock, right? This is like the cage Spock is smiling funny. at the singing plants, you know. With all my renditions. We can presume
he grew a beard and shit.
We can presume that by the end of Strange New Worlds, right?
Where's that music coming from?
Leading into the TOS era. In TOS, he's much more stoic, much more controlled.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think we're meant to be following him along this path where one of the reasons he chooses by TOS to be more controlled is because of his experiences with Nurse Chapel. Of course. Of course, later on, he then tries to do the Kulinar, changes his mind, and Star Trek the Motion Picture, and then Star Trek 3. And there's
that bit in Discovery where he's growing a beard.
Yeah, and that's earlier, because like earlier on, like we've known Spock has a troubled youth, and
but
still
it's
has some
difficulty. Isn't it after the cage?
It's after the cage. Yes, I think it is. I like that song. That's a good song.
It's a nice hook.
Wait, here's one.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Yeah, because she's ready to go hang out with this news really Roger Corby. Changes everything. That's a great song. Myself,
we share the same. I like that bass note. He has that bass note.
Yeah, not Gregory Peck. He's Gregory Peck's grandson.
Yeah.
Ethan Peck. Ethan Peck, I think, has a really good voice. He was nervous about that, too, because he's not really trained in that. But good job. Good job, Ethan Peck and the rest of you. That's my favorite song.
If you want to, we did a whole episode of that.
We did. It was probably a good one. I imagine that was a good one. I can't specifically remember, but I imagine that was a good episode of It's Got Star Trek.
We did a fairly good job.
I was mixed on the whole musical episode. I didn't dislike it, but I didn't love it.
I enjoyed it.
They did a very good job with it. It just wasn't.
I enjoyed it. And I admittedly, people who are familiar with my taste matrix will know that I have an inbred, I don't think that's what it is.
Whatever it takes.
I have a bias towards ambition. Ambitious ideas.
I thought you were just like, I don't know about you guys. I'm just really ambitious in my life. That's just my thing is I'm just really try hard. I don't know about you guys.
I don't think about that. Yeah.
It's cool that you're not like that.
I'm going to pee all over you.
No,
guys.
I see.
I am articulating it poorly.
I know what you mean.
I respect when TV shows, movies, books.
They go out on a limb.
When they go out on a limb, even if they don't quite nail it.
No, yeah, I respect that they did it.
Now, I thought that the musical, I really thought they did a pretty good job with it. But yeah, so again.
It was, an effort. It was a
trying things is, I don't want to punish trying things unless.
No, I agree.
They try a bunch of bullshit over
and
over.
No, I agree with that. Right. I'm in agreeance with that.
That's good.
What did you guys think about this whole thing about the Gorn are controlled? It's not that their stellar activity happens because of the Gorn. It's causation versus correlation or something. Is that how
it goes? It's just they respond to light. And again, it's like, that's like, very lizardy.
It's like they don't. They were talking about like Gorn activity coincides with stellar activity, and it's not that Gorn caused the stellar activity. No. The stellar activity causes the Gorn.
They respond to their environment. It doesn't sound like great to like they're these intelligent, sophisticated, technologically advanced people are just like you flash a light at them
and they go into
way,
hibernation,
and they're like going to sleep. It's I buy it. It's a cute idea. It's fun, but again, this whole opening episode, entertaining, great production design, well acted, but the actual story really feels like shit. What do we write to conclude the story? We got to come up with like it's not just one
doohickey. It's not one gimmick. A lot of episodes have like, okay, just buy this one gimmick because this is the plot we want to say. They had 10 or 12 different gimmicks that they had to lay out.
It got a little confusing.
In order to get the episode to end. But again, it's not a big deal because it was entertaining and there was good character development, at least for Chapel and Spock. For Scotty, there was some character development. We got to see some great acting from Pike, looking all frustrated and exasperated and nervous.
Anson Mount is
wonderful.
We learn a lot about the Gorn in these episodes of Strange New Worlds, but they're still pretty mysterious.
Very mysterious. There's more we can learn.
So many questions.
Lots of Pike eyeballs. A lot of eyeball imaging. They were doing all sorts of imaging. They did Pike eyeballs from the front. They did Pike side eyeball. Mm-hmm. You see, there was some really good side eyeball.
Get it done.
Totally.
My other note is that he has very nice eyeballs.
He does. I would touch those eyeballs with my mouth.
With your mouth?
With my mouth.
With your tongue.
And I got some good Ortegas moments, you know?
Yes. Yeah, man.
America. Ortegas. I fly the ship. I
know. That was a callback from before.
Melissa Navia is just wonderful.
Really,
she's really taken. She's a classic example of a character that seemed to be considered sort of minor in the initial conception, and she just made it a character you had to fall in love with. And they expanded her role.
That's what happened to, what's his name in Parks and Rec?
Which
Andy?
One? Chris Pratt.
Andy Dufresne?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. I don't know a lot about Chris Pratt as a person, but like that character is fine.
Let's stay away.
I love Chris Pratt in Parks and Recreation. Yeah. I love him in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. He's a competent, funny guy. I am aggravated that he is now the voice of Garfield, the voice of Mario, the voice of God, just the voice of everything. He's the voice of everything.
Is he the voice of Garfield?
Yeah. So in the new Garfield movie, which is not a good movie. It's not a Garfield movie. It's got Garfield in it. It's not a fucking Garfield movie.
And fuck that shit.
Garfield doesn't act like Garfield.
Have we ever pointed this out on the podcast, the whole...
Garfield versus Heathcliff?
No. It's the relationship between Bill Murray and Lorenzo Music.
Yes.
So
for those who don't know, if you watch the old Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters. Let me tell the story. Yeah, okay. the real Ghostbusters cartoon show. The voice of Peter Venkman is played by Lorenzo Music. Mm-hmm. Now in the Ghostbusters movie, it's played by Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then in Garfield, the cartoon, that's voiced by Lorenzo Music.
All the way. Dude.
And then when
it
they
sounds the, exactly like then, he does in
and,
Ghostbusters.
And then later on, the last one to be made was the Garfield movie, and that was Bill Murray.
Yes. Right.
So there was some kind of like parallel Lorenzo Music, Bill Murray
he's
character
in Gummy Bears
thing going.
Too.
Lorenzo Music or Bill Murray?
Yeah. Lorenzo Music isn't going.
Oh yeah, he's that one character.
So there's this like parallel role between Bill Murray and Lorenzo Music, both playing Ghostbuster Peter Venkman and both playing Garfield. It almost seemed like when the Garfield movie came out, because that was the last one, it almost seemed like they were saying like, we got to get Bill Murray to play Garfield because there's already this connection going on.
I think it was a wild coincidence.
I don't know, man. All right. I don't know.
Okay. Now
Raspberry.
Now, let's, like Pike and the crew of the Enterprise, let's retreat back to the topic at hand.
Okay, so Batel. Oh. So it was, now, Batel was, like, mad at Pike because he used Una's blood. And because
She was not mad at him.
She was like Anson Mount, or whatever she said.
I'm confused.
That's confusing.
She was not mad at him at any point in this episode.
No, because that's when he was like,
Anson Mount really don't want to lose you.
That part. Because
why was she was not mad?
Yes, because she goes, yeah, she...
What are you talking about?
I'm trying...
I have no recollection of what you're talking about. It seemed like a very touching...
Okay, scene. Here's the part. Pike goes, you're still not out of the woods yet. This is after she woke up. Yes. And she goes, how? And then Pike's like, Una helped. And then she's like, Chris, you shouldn't have done that.
She knew right away.
And then he's like, Marie, I've already lost too much, all right? So we can sit here and argue about what might or might not happen in the future, or you can just set all that aside and let me hold you. So she was like saying that he should not have given her Una's blood, is how I took that. Right. Because Una has bioengineered blood or whatever, right? Isn't that the whole deal?
Yep.
Yeah, and so now that Batel has Una's blood, Patel now has bioengineered blood, and she's afraid
that's
she's
a court martial.
And so she's got yeah, that's a court martial. That's a paddling.
That's a total paddling.
She doesn't have those. It's running through her system. It'll be gone. That's the implication.
I mean, I'm just saying that like she told Pike that he shouldn't have helped her.
I'll have to go back and watch the scene. The way you've read it certainly is open to that person. I did not read that.
Yeah, because she goes.
I did not get that from seeing. Because
she goes.
The scene.
She goes. Chris, you shouldn't have done that. That's what she said. Just like that. But she did say that. She did.
Convenient. You didn't clip that out here.
No, I'm reading the line, and I remember this line, and I have it in my notes. Like
he reads well.
After he said, all I'm saying is after Pike says Una helped, and she goes, Chris, you shouldn't have done that. So yeah, go back and watch it, you guys, and everyone out there who are listening audience, and tell me why did Patel tell Chris
Patel
Pike?
Patel.
Why did Patel tell Pike? Why did okay? Everybody out there, why did Patel tell Pike? Why did she tell Pike, she told him, Chris, you shouldn't have done that after Pike told her that he gave her Una's blood? Why would she say that he shouldn't have done that? Why?
That's the great mystery.
Why?
And we aim to find it out.
Is it because of Una's bioengineered blood?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll look forward
That's
to...
That's what I'm talking about, Patrick. You're like, Dan, what are you talking... Dan! Oh, my God, Dan. What are you talking about? Oh my God. Jesse, can you believe this shit? Dude, what the fuck are you talking about, Dan?
This guy is off the wall.
I mean, what the fuck, man? That's what you said.
Indeed. All right. Well, if you'd like to reach out to us, if you'd like to reach out to us with any comments or questions or clarifications on this that subject or any other subject, you can write us at feedback@discussstartrek.com.
Oh, is there any nudity or no nudity?
Is there any nudity?
Nudity or no nudity?
Not in this episode.
I did have one last thing I wanted to point out. On the Gorn ship, they have to access. They were talking about Sam Kirk is talking about how they have to act. I think it was Sam Kirk talking about how they have to access the ship's mainframe and upload the Gorn transporter codes to get the people to the Enterprise. They're still talking about fucking mainframe.
This
is a Unix system.
Yeah, right. And my Linux got to access the mainframe.
Sam Kirk.
I gotta access the mainframe on my Linux system.
Sam Kirk uses Notepad++.
I sure hope they have Notepad++ can use it on the mainframe.
He's kind of funny. I like Sam.
The mainframe.
Dan.
Notepad++.
Jesse does ask an important question as we are about to close out the episode here. But before we shut things down, were there any duty or no duties or that's in orders or anything like that?
No. No.
All right. I guess none of that to report this week.
And solid, see what happens. They next said week? The word order a lot, but there's nothing close to that's an order.
Yeah. Shit.
Can you believe it?
Did you record them saying order?
No, because there wasn't that's an order.
Yeah, why the fuck would
you said they said it a lot. You often record
it. They said it a lot.
When they say a lot of words, you often are like, hey, they said the same word a lot.
Lava.
You do it a lot?
Not that again.
Would you massage a man's feet?
Ach-bah-heed.
What does Ach-bah-heed mean?
I don't know. Some sort of Scottish business.
Sort of Gaelic or something.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't.
No.
Sure, that wasn't funny.
Again. I'm being honest. I don't want it to be too late.
I'll start the process of ending the podcast.
The thing is, it worked on my wee shuttle.
Dan will interject.
Oh, forgive me for interrupting, but you can't make a star do much of anything. It worked on my wee shuttle.
Dan will interject with sound effects that he
my
forgot,
wee shuttle.
He forgot to play earlier, or didn't find
crazy
opportunity to play earlier. So, yes.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
We already gave the old email, but we would also like to give you other opportunities to connect with us. The website, www.itscottstartrek.com.
Oh, yes.
That's the website.
If you still want to look at websites.
All sorts of stuff to do there. You can sort by series. So if you click on Strange New Worlds, you can see all our coverage of seasons 1 and 2 of Strange New Worlds.
The list gets weirder as it goes on.
If you'd like to. You can also send us a voicemail at itscottstartrek.com/record.
Sabotage.
Indeed. you can find us all over social media at It's Got Star Trek.
I don't get it. Yes, you don't get it. Yeah, I don't get it. Where would I stay?
The little snail looking symbol. At it's got Star Trek.
Bilata's on it.
We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. Not you. You won't see any video of us on YouTube. You will see a static image, an artfully designed static image, custom to the episode.
People like the YouTube
that will be on the screen while you're pottering around the house doing chores, and the TV is spouting the podcast out at us.
There's a good chance you're listening to us on YouTube.
A lot of people listen on YouTube.
It's a good plan, right?
Last week's episode has like 1,000 views on YouTube.
It's a good plan.
1,000.
This is a good plan, right?
We got to start making money.
It's a good plan, right?
It's a good plan.
This is a good plan.
Good. It's a good plan, segue, right? Jesse, because speaking of making money,
it's a good plan. It's a good plan, right? It's gonna work.
If you, for some reason, are keen to give us some cash money, you can go to patreon.com/ It's Got Star Trek.
It's got goodies.
This is a good plan. It's a good plan, right?
It's a good plan.
It's gonna work.
Tons of fun content over there on Patreon. We'll be adding more soon. Definitely go check it out. You can go check it out for even if you don't want to pay us money. There's some free stuff up there too, but some bonus content that you might enjoy.
It's gonna work.
So again, we're gonna be going week to week from now on. Next week we will be discussing Wedding Bell Blues.
All right, Wedding Bell Blues.
And I've already seen it.
It's a good plan, right?
It's a fun one.
This is a good plan.
Fun to discuss.
It's a good plan.
Dan's gonna work. Get some really good audio out of that one. So come back and check it out next week. All right. With that, we'll give you a hearty and heartfelt goodbye.
Stay with me. Stay with me.
Turn it off. Turn it off.
I didn't talk over that one.
Good job, Jesse.
The car! They're here! Oh, you Scotty!
No.
We're all gonna die!
It's walking! Tell the bridge to patch it to the chutes.
What, is it too late?
Bridge to science lab, what's the status down there? We're about to enter Gorn space.
Oh, you thanks.
It's up and running, Captain. We can patch it into the shields now.
Excellent. Pike out.
That wasn't funny.